Hey, this morning we're launching into not a communion sermon, although it ends up that way, but a new sermon series. It's called Come to Your Senses. No matter if you grew up in the church and you felt close to God most of your life, or if this is the first time you're in a setting where you hear about God, everyone goes through ups and downs in how close you feel to God. But I believe that God has given us a million different ways to connect with Him, and some of those He created in us with our five senses, different ways to connect with Him. So over the next 5 weeks, Pastor Alex and I will be preaching through this series, going through the five senses as we talk about connecting to God, and today we focus on the sense of taste. So let's pray and we'll dive into the Word. Heavenly Father, this morning as we rejoice in who You are through music and prayer and story, we continue rejoicing in who You are through this simple message. So guide our thoughts, guide our hearts and minds, and help us to connect with You through taste. In Jesus' name, amen. David writes in the book of Psalms, he says these words. He says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." This last Monday, I get a text message from one of my favorite church members. You may have heard of him, John DeArmas. He says, "Hey, Pastor Matt, I miss you. Let's go eat." And when he says, "Let's go eat," I drop everything because I know it's going to be good. And so he gave me a few options, and so I picked one I'd never been to before. It's just down off of Park Avenue in Winter Park. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Prado. Have you eaten there? Raise your hand if you've eaten at Prado. Oh, man, we need to cater them for a potluck or something. So I went online to see what I was getting into, and I realized it's an Italian restaurant, and I thought, okay, well, this will be good food. You know, I've eaten Italian before. I've been to Olive Garden, so I know what Italian's like. So I show up to Prado, and we go inside, and the server seats us, the hostess seats us, server comes over, and instead of what I was expecting, she took a different approach, because most restaurants, they come up and they say, "Okay, well, honey, would you like sweet tea, or we got Coke products?" Not this lady, not this server. She came up and she said, "Hi, welcome. I'd like to tell you about how we make our food here at Prado." The chef in the back, he gets the finest ingredients from Italy, sources them from just specific places, and then he does all of his things to get the spices and the flavors, and I'm realizing that this is not Cracker Barrel. I'm in a different zone here, guys. I feel out of my comfort zone. And so as she's telling us all the things, I'm realizing that this white boy that can eat spaghetti and just butter or maybe some ragu is going to have to trust somebody else to choose my food for me. And so they're looking at me like I'm ready to order, and so I just say, "John, you got to order for me." And he says, "Okay, let's get some appetizers, more than one appetizer, because if we're going to eat, let's eat." And so he orders something called burrata, and I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly. I'm seeing some nods. You know what it is. I don't know what it is. A few minutes later, the server comes up with this bowl, and there's multiple types of tomatoes there. You've got the mini cherry tomatoes, and then you've got these tomato wedges. They're all in this bowl, and then there's this large blob of some bougie cheese that I don't even know what it is. And I'm kind of staring at it like, this looks good. Is that a dip in the middle? What do we got here? And John says, "Let me help you." And so he slices that cheese in half and puts it on my plate and scoops some of the tomatoes over there. And I'm just thinking this is just a mild salad, you know? Is that feta cheese? I don't even know what it is. And when I took the first bite, my taste buds exploded. You got the sweet of the tomatoes. You've got balsamic vinaigrette with that flavor, whatever it is. You've got this cheese that is just delicious. There's some aioli sauce on there. And I just thought, this is the best tomato I've ever had in my life. And then the second appetizer comes out. I got a picture of it here. This is Prado on the left. Look at this. Brings out this margarita pizza. And I'm like, I didn't know Papa John's delivers here. It was no Papa John's, let me tell you. One bite of that pizza, the flavors, oh, delicious sauce. The crust, perfect, light and fluffy. We're not even to the main course yet. Finally, the server brings out my meal, and she plunks it down in front of me. And I had ordered summer corn agnolotti. Pretty sure I said that correctly. And it's basically these pasta pockets, not like not like ravioli, like these special made pockets that are stuffed full of corn and different things. And then there's these fresh mushrooms that are there on the plate. And so without hesitation, I dive into this thing. And it, again, I'm overwhelmed by the flavor. It's so delicious. Like my mouth is watering right now just talking about it. I don't know about you guys. It's so delicious. And I told John, I said, if it wasn't rude for me to pick up my plate and lick the plate, I would do it. So good. Y'all, Prado is delicious. And if you're listening, I could use a free gift card to go to Prado. Guys, if you have a significant other, date night, put it on the calendar, take her to Prado. If you're single, just go to Prado. It's delicious. See, here's the thing. I've tasted it, and it's so good. You've got to taste it for yourselves. You know, the psalmist, he writes about the goodness of God, and he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I invite you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 34, where we get to read what the psalmist is saying. Psalm chapter 34. If you're new to the Bible, there's a blue one in front of you, and I believe it's on page 396. You can find Psalm chapter 34, where we can read part of this psalm together. Now, I'll give you a little context for this. David is writing in an acrostic poem. It's a book of poetry, and he starts by using the Hebrew alphabet, all 22 letters, Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, He, right down the list as he uses those letters for his acrostic poem. Now, he breaks it up into three different parts. The first is just a mild introduction. Then he gives us his story, his experience, and then he gives us instruction. So in Psalm chapter 34, we're going to read these words. Just give me an amen if you're there. That's pretty strong. Psalm chapter 34, starting in verse 1. Here's how it goes. Verse 1. David says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. So he gives this introduction. He says, guys, I love God. Glorify him with me. Then he goes into his story. He says this. This is his experience. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. He says, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7, you know well, it says this. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. See, this is David's experience. He says, hey, you know, I've been through some stuff, guys. He says, I've experienced some hard times. I know what it's like to be chased and hunted down. He says, I've been through some stuff, but God has always delivered me. He says, always, you can count on him. It's his experience. David is sharing his life story, but he doesn't just stop at his story. He charges you with something else. It's in verse 8. We just read it. He says, you taste and see that the Lord is good. He doesn't just say, here's my experience, buy it. He says, here's my experience, but it's not a real experience unless you experience it. See, I can eat Prado summer corn agnolotti all day long, and I can taste it, and it's delicious. But until you taste it, you'll never know what it tastes like. Unless you have a personal experience with Jesus, you'll never know what it's like. In fact, I'll put it this way. Experiencing God is not something anyone else can do for you. You have to taste his goodness for yourself. As David writes these words, he uses the Hebrew word ta'am, which is the word for taste, and it literally means to try the flavor of or to experience for oneself. When it comes to connecting with God without a personal experience with him, Christianity is just a theory. It's just an idea. Unless it's your experience, then it's just a thought in someone's idea. God isn't real until you truly have tasted and experienced him in a personal relationship with him. Have you tasted his goodness in your life? Have you tasted the delicious food that he gives you to strengthen you and lift you up? Have you tasted the bread of life recently? It's the Word of God. He gives it to you to feast on and feed on, to get nourishment from, to bolster your health. And He gives it to you to be sustained reading this each and every day. You see, the facts are pretty sad when it comes to Protestant evangelical Christians. That's most of us here. About how often we taste and see that God is good. How often we eat the bread of life. In a recent study this year from Lifeway, they discovered that only 31% of U.S. Protestant churchgoers say Bible reading is a daily habit. Now, I don't know if you're an optimist or a pessimist, if you're a glass half full or half empty, but that number says that only a third of people spend time feasting on this word every day, which also means that if you look in the pews around you, no shame, but every third person, there's only one person that feasts every day. Kind of terrifying. That's what I like to call spiritual starvation. I think sometimes to the rest of the world, Christianity looks like starving Somalians with bones sticking out of skin and swollen bellies and malnourished bodies. I think sometimes we're a sickly group of malnourished people that just need nutrition and health. I mean, in a country like America where everything revolves around fast food and all-you-can-eat buffets, in a country like America where Bibles sit on bedside tables and everyone's got one, we're all spiritually starving. According to a Barna research study, 88% of households in America have a Bible. That averages to 4.4 Bibles per household. That's a lot of people that have it. Another survey from George Gallup and Jim Castelli, these guys are known researchers, they say this: Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. And because they don't read it, we have become a nation of biblical illiterates. One could say that no wonder people break the Ten Commandments. They don't know what they are. Here's the research. Fewer than half of adults in America can name the four Gospels. Many Americans can barely name two or three of the disciples. In fact, just during Sabbath school time, I was talking with one of our members that was here at First Service, and they said, "Pastor Matt, you challenged me on the disciples." And so they started writing out, trying to figure out what the names of the disciples are. Pro tip, Thaddeus is one of them. I don't even know what he does in the Bible, but he's one of them. How about this one? 82% of Americans believe that God only helps those who help themselves is a Bible verse in the Bible. Guess what? Christians, 81% think that's in there. Here's another one. A majority of adults think that the Bible teaches that the most important purpose in life is taking care of one's family. You're telling me that the creator of the universe came to die for us so that we would take care of our families? Read the Great Commission and tell me what it says. 50% of graduating high school seniors think that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. 57% of millennials read their Bible less than 3 times a year, if at all. This tells me that Christianity in America is filled with spiritual people that are starving, are hungry for the bread of life and the Word of God. But I don't want today's short message before communion to be a spiritual spanking. That's not the point of this. In fact, today should be encouraging and motivating. And so I've got some ideas for you to help you taste and see for yourselves the goodness of God. Here's the very first one. Get a new Bible. You know, I mean, I've got a bunch of Bibles. This is the one I always preach from, but it's wearing out. I mean, you can see on the edges, it's dying. I mean, the binding is falling apart on the back. Just a few weeks ago, I walked into my office, and there's oftentimes random things on my desk because a lot of people use my office for different meetings and stuff, and that's great. It's what it's for. Just use it. But there was a beautiful Bible on my desk, and I thought, well, this is a wonderful gift someone gave me. And I go over and I touch it, genuine leather on it. Oh, this is bougie. I like this. I open it up. You can smell the goodness. This is great. I'm so excited. It has a red ribbon on it. This is beautiful. And then I turn one more page and it's got somebody's name written on it. is Pastor Alex's Bible. He has a Bible study in there on Friday nights, and he just left it there. But as I touched his Bible, I thought, I want one like this too. And so I began this journey of researching, what new Bible do I want? I'm going to use it all the time. I preach from it, open it up all the time. Got to have it. And so I've looked on Amazon. I've read review after review after review. They've got different kinds. They've got references in the middle column. They've got wide margins. They've got different translations, different versions, different colors. You name it, all sorts of things. I went to the ABC just down the road, and I looked at all those. I went to Barnes & Noble. I looked at all those. In fact, I've got a couple that are coming in the mail in the next couple of days from Amazon. I'll check them out. I found one that I really want. It's $229. I think I'm going to buy it anyway. Because I want something that just makes me drawn into it. Like, I have to open this thing because I want to spend time in it. I'll tell you what, the high schoolers in our church are leading the way with this. If you've ever seen one of their Bibles, you'll be excited about it. I've seen them. They bring them to their Bible studies. I just saw one on Thursday. It's beautiful. Opened up. There's multiple colors of highlights. And so I asked this girl, I said, hey, tell me about when you read the Bible, why do you have these different colors? And she said, I'm so glad you asked. I would love to tell you about this. And she said, the ones that are highlighted in purple, those are God's promises to me. She says, the highlights that are in blue, those are instruction for me. The ones that are highlighted in pink, that's direct application for what I should do. And she goes on to explain this whole thing. She's got a system. Why? Because she wants to taste and see that God is good by digging in the Word of God for herself, not from anybody else. All right, let's go to the next one. If you don't want to buy a new Bible, you got a nice Bible, that's good. Go buy a new devotional book. There's so many of them. They got daily devotionals. They got some for men, for women. We have a devotional book at our house that we read, and it is a devotional book for boys, which makes sense because we got boys in our house. It's very simple. It's a passage of scripture and then a story and application. Maybe that's all you need, but it'll help you stay in the Word of God. How about this one? Start listening to the Bible. You guys have commutes. Maybe it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe it's 10 minutes. It doesn't matter. Some of you live in Lake Nona. You got to drive a long time to get to different places. Spend the time listening to the Word. In fact, there's so many different voices of people that read the Bible that you can have pretty much anyone. In fact, just for you millennials out there, I did some digging to see if I could find some different voices that you might like to hear, and I found one. There's a whole YouTube channel dedicated to this, and I don't know if this is sacrilegious, but the voice of the one reading it is none other than your favorite Snoop Doggy Dog. It's out there. You can find it after Sabbath. But it's the Bible, so I don't know. Anyway. How about this one? Download the Bible app. If you don't have the Bible app, it's super easy, very quick. There's Bible reading plans. Some are a week, some are a month, some are a year. Or how about this one? Challenge a friend. I'm in a group text with a bunch of collegiate dudes. And about a week and a half ago, I get this text into the group thread. And it said, hey guys, I got a challenge for you. Let's all commit to being in the Word of God and journaling every day. And my phone just blew up with thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. Yes, let's do it. I'm so excited about this. Maybe it takes somebody else to hold you accountable to this. Whatever you choose to do, just do something. Do it for yourself to taste and see that God is good. You know, David, he writes another chapter in the Bible in Psalms. It's Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's also poetry, and it's also an acrostic poem, and it's also built off the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And he has a couple of verses in there that I just want to share with you as we close. Here's what he says, Psalm 119, verses 97 and 104. He says, oh, how I love your law. I meditated on it all day long. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The Word of God is sweeter than honey, y'all. It tastes so good. It's incredible. Just taste it. But in order to taste God, to taste how good He is, you've got to spend time in the Word. See, I can eat Prado all day long, but you'll never taste it until you eat it. I can work on a sermon all week long, every week, and spoon feed, if that's what you need. But until you really get in the Word of God, you won't taste how good He is. Whatever way it is, take the time, make the time, spend some time to taste for yourself the goodness of God.